This morning's public read comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. We have finished 1 Samuel, and now we are going back and picking up where we left off when we terminated our public reading in Luke. We finished the first 17 chapters, and now we're going to begin with chapter 18. I'm going to read just the first 14 verses. In these reading through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to break it down into the paragraph divisions that you normally find in your English translation. Some of these paragraph divisions are short, some are long. We might read a couple of paragraph divisions or one long one. It all depends on how we break it down. This is God's Word. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh. Shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, quote, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Unquote. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, quote, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Unquote. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Now, when you come to a parable, irregardless of which one you're reading, now here we read two of them that fell from the lips of Christ. You got to be careful. Normally, a parable has one central thought or meaning. Now, there may be many applications that you can draw, but we got to be careful that we do not bleed every parable for every possible interpretation under the sun because we just simply like tearing apart a parable. You don't do that. One central thought, one central meaning. And again, there may be many applications. I don't deny that. But we cannot give to every parable a dozen interpretations and then 2,000 applications. Only one meaning. Now, verse 1 and verse 9 gives you the purpose of each of these respective parables. Verse 1 says, Jesus spake this parable unto them to this purpose, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, beloved, all of us know that at times we pray and we pray, and sometimes our prayers never seem to be answered. Sometimes we think our prayers go no higher than the ceiling. Then there are those who tell us, well, when God does hear your prayers, there's normally three possible answers. Yes, no, wait. So that's how some people simply look at you. You get somewhat discouraged. You get dismayed. Why should I pray? Why do I spend time in prayer? My prayers never seem to avail to anything. I'm praying for either this sickness. I'm praying for this brother, this family member to be saved. And all I see is nothing but a blank sheet, a blank wall. Jesus here is admonishing that we should never be discouraged or be dismayed in our prayer life. Now, easier said than done. I've been much younger, I would say some 50 years ago, with a couple of single guys in our Air Force dormitory who were Christians. And we decided to have our own little prayer meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning outside the local bay swimming pool. And we were all spiritual. We were all eager beavers. And lo and behold, when we began to pray with our little prayer sheet, when we were part of that navigator group, wasn't too long when somebody was praying and one of the other brothers was beginning to cut lumber. You can hear the snoring. You can see the Z's coming out of his mouth. Sometimes we can even fall asleep praying. I have. I bet you have. Jesus doesn't want us to get exasperated when we think our prayers are not being heard or count for nothing. And he gives this parable of this judge. Now, be careful. The judge, Jesus says, this judge never had no regard for God, no regard for man. He was basically a law unto himself. Now, we know that we cannot apply that to the true and living God. See, that's where you have to be careful. You can't accuse God of being like the judge. But Jesus is giving in this parable an example of this kind of person. He doesn't want to be bothered. He has no regard for God. He has no regard for anybody walking on two legs. He is a law unto himself. This woman, on the other hand, she has a legal bone to be resolved. And she comes to him and he just simply blows her off. But the principle here is importunity. You know that passage in the Bible? Seek, it shall be found. Knock, it shall be opened. Ask, and it shall be given. That's how it reads in English. But in the Greek, it reads, knock and keep on knocking. Seek, keep on seeking. Ask, keep on asking. It's in the continual tense. Now, we read it in English, ask, seek, and knock. Okay. But in the Greek, it's a continual knocking, a continual seeking, and a continual asking. And that's what she's doing. She asks. Now again, when it says, this judge says, lest she weary me. Now here's something that has to be careful with the parable. Beloved, we do not arm wrestle God in our prayers. It's not a matter of us beating God down and forcing him to give us an answer. Yes, no, or wait. That's not. Now you can draw that if you want to and be absolutely out there in left field. The point that Jesus here is making is the concept of importunity. If you're praying for a lost loved one, beloved, there's been people like grandmothers who have prayed for a grandson or a granddaughter or maybe one of her own children. For decades, they brought that person's name before God in prayer, asking for salvation to be granted. And then lo and behold, years later, God saves them. That importunity, that persistence on the part of that grandmother on behalf of her child or grandchildren. Are you seeking God's will for your life? What direction shall I go? There may not be that immediate answer like in the case of this woman. But the judge eventually did give her redress. And that's why Jesus said, okay, men ought not always to faint, but they should always pray. So that's the lesson here in a nutshell. Then the other parable, everybody I think is quite familiar, because this is one of those stories that you learn very young when you're in Sunday school, maybe with a flannel graph background. Okay, you got these two individuals. Now, again, Jesus is drawing upon things that everybody around him could easily relate. Pharisees were in that culture, as well as a publican who was despised, the local tax collector. He was a Jewish man robbing from his fellow Jewish brothers in order to collect taxes for the Roman Empire. And many of these tax collectors were very, very corrupt. They would tell you how much they thought you owed. They would take out what you really owed, and that little extra that you gave him, not knowing you being hoodwinked, went into his pockets. So you have someone who was religious, well known in the community, with this aura of self-righteousness, and then you got this nasty, dirty, thieving tax collector. And they both go to the temple complex. They're out there in the outer court, and they're going to pray. Well, the Pharisee, in his own self-estimation, he is God's gift to the temple. Raises his hands up, eyes lifted to heaven, no humility, no concept of the creator-creature relationship. He just blubbers off his prayer. Look at me. I am a trophy of my religion. I fast. I do this. I give to the poor. I write a good check. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't chase women. I don't have tattoos. I'm not a boozer. I don't put a needle in my wrist or arms. Here I am. The publican, he can taste his sin. He's so corrupt. No one needs to tell him that he's a bad guy. He can taste it. He can feel it. And notice, he doesn't even get anywhere near the Pharisee. He's standing afar off. He knows the gap that is between him and a holy God. And all that he can do is have his head looking down to the dirt, pounding on his chest. Lord, be merciful to me, a nasty, dirty, filthy, rebellious sinner. And then Jesus says in verse 14 to his audience, oh, by the way, now probably this was actually going on when he gave this parable. Or at least his audience has seen this being worked out in everyday life there in Jerusalem. The Pharisee and the publican attempting to pray to their God. Jesus says, that Pharisee is going to walk away just as dead and doomed before he started praying. And by the way, that publican that came in doomed with the wrath of God upon his shoulders, he's going to walk away a child of my Heavenly Father. Notice the two approaches. The Pharisee comes bringing himself to God. The publican, his only recourse is to raise filthy hands, head down, one arm beating his chest. Lord, be merciful. I'm a sinner. I'm no good. And only you can make me good. And Jesus said in that instance, he walked away clean. The Pharisee walked away still filthy and full of himself. Well, may God choose to bless his work.